All right, welcome back to the deep dive. We're all about getting to the heart of complex stuff, quickly but thoroughly. You're here because you want to understand those next big things without getting lost in the weeds, right? So today, we're taking you straight to the cutting edge of how to make those already smart manufacturing systems, the intelligent ones, even smarter and way more adaptable.
Yeah, exactly. We're looking at a whole new way of thinking about autonomous agents, especially manufacturing, especially with how fast things are changing. Moving from Industry 4.0, which was all about data and connectivity, to Industry 5.0, where it's more about humans and sustainability.
Right, exactly. And to do that, we've been digging into some really cool, really new research, like fresh off the press. An academic article just came out this past March, actually, though they received it last November, so it's brand new. And it lays out this conceptual framework called OPRA, and its collaborative extension, COPRA. This is your cheat sheet, basically, to understanding a big leap in the field.
Yeah, our mission today is really simple, but super important. To figure out how OPRA allows these autonomous agents in manufacturing to make better decisions, like really effective decisions, even when things are uncertain or complicated. It's all about how they can use external knowledge, almost like having an expert on call to guide their every move.
Okay, so before we dive into OPRA, let's make sure we're all on the same page. Intelligent and Sustainable Manufacturing, or ISM. Now, most of you probably know about Industry 4.0, connected devices, automation, tons of data. But ISM, which is kind of fueled by Industry 5.0 ideas, takes that further, right?
Absolutely. Industry 5.0 builds on all that digital stuff from Industry 4.0, but puts humans back in the driver's seat. It's about people and machines working together. And of course, it's got a huge focus on sustainability, using resources wisely. Think lean, green, smart. That's what's driving this push for excellence in both how we operate and how we treat the planet.
And what are some of the core AI technologies already in play here? The ones setting the stage for these new developments.
Well, digital twins are big, those virtual copies of physical things. They're crucial for simulations and optimization. And of course, machine learning. It's been essential for analyzing all that data these systems generate. Things like predicting when machines need maintenance.
So this is where things get really interesting, right? The research we're looking at, it highlights how large language models, LLMs, are a real game changer. What's so different about what they bring to manufacturing compared to, say, traditional AI?
It's the way LLMs understand context and can solve problems in all sorts of ways. Traditional AI learns from specific data, you see. But LLMs, they can understand normal human language. They can access a crazy amount of general knowledge. So they offer insights and can even suggest solutions that go way beyond just the data they were trained on. It's about understanding the whole situation, not just patterns in the numbers.
So it's less about looking at the past, at historical data, and more about understanding what's happening now with this much wider view.
Exactly. And this is where knowledge-informed machine learning, or KMLang, comes in. Think of it like this. We're giving our traditional AI a textbook written by the top experts. It helps them learn smarter and faster. And what this research shows is that adding LLMs into KMLang takes adaptability to a whole new level.
Okay, so how does that work? How does that integration make things more adaptable?
Well, when you connect it all, using LLMs to give KMLang that knowledge means these AI models get really good at adjusting on the fly to changing conditions. Like the environment changes, they can roll with it. Operational needs change, they adapt. It's almost like they can look up information and learn instantly, which is super valuable in manufacturing, where things are constantly evolving.
Okay, so that's the setup. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty. OPR, Observation Prompt Response Action. Sounds like, a cycle of learning by doing. What is this framework exactly?
You got it. OPR is this new AI-driven framework that's meant to connect autonomous manufacturing systems to all that knowledge LLMs have. It's a way for those agents to tap into that external expertise right when they need it.
So walk us through those four components. What's happening at each step?
Sure. It all starts with observation. That's where the autonomous agent gathers information. Could be from physical sensors, like temperature or vibration sensors. Could be from digital data, like system logs. Basically, it's taking in everything around it. Then comes the prompt. Based on what it sees, the agent puts together a query, like a question, for an external knowledge source, ChatGPT, for example. And the big thing here is that the prompt is designed to fill a specific gap in the agent's knowledge.
So it's not just asking random questions, right? It's figuring out what it doesn't know from what it does.
Exactly. Then there's the response. That's where the external system, like ChatGPT, gives the agent information, insights, suggestions. It could be a direct answer, an explanation, even a recommended action to take. And finally, there's action. The agent takes what it understands internally and combines it with the external knowledge it just got. Then it decides what to do and does it.
So the big difference here is that middle part, the prompt and response. Instead of just going from sensing something to doing something based on pre-programmed rules, the agent actually asks for advice, right?
That's a really good way to put it. Think about it like this. You're trying to solve a really tough puzzle, right? A traditional system might only have a few set moves to try, but an OPRA agent, when it gets to a tricky part, it can ask someone who's solved similar puzzles before, get a hint, a new strategy. It's that ability to look for outside help that makes it special. So basically, OPRA is about moving from what, you know, maybe rigidly internally to external wisdom, which is more agile, more adaptable.
Okay, this sounds potentially super useful. What are the main advantages of this OPRA way of doing things?
Oh, there are a bunch. First, dynamic knowledge integration. OPRA agents can get the latest information, even for situations they've never seen before. They're not limited by what they already know. Second, flexibility. Because they make their prompts based on the situation at hand, they can handle all sorts of scenarios, way more than systems with fixed responses. Third, explainability. Because you can see the questions the agent asked and the answers it got, its decisions are more transparent. You can see how it got there. And finally, adaptability. These agents keep refining their knowledge, keep getting better based on new challenges and the external input they get.
Those all sound like huge steps forward, but there's got to be some downsides, right? What are the challenges of using OPRA?
Oh, definitely. There are trade-offs. Latency's one. Getting a response from an external system takes time, which could be a problem if you need things to happen really fast. Then there's prompt quality. If the agent's question isn't clear, the answer is not going to be useful. And of course, the external system has to be reliable. If it's down or gives bad information, that messes things up. And lastly, all this querying can be resource intensive. You need computing power and it might cost more. So, you know, it's a balancing act between this smart, responsive system and the realities of the situation.
Right. Got to balance that smartness with real world limits. Let's get into the nuts and bolts here. How would you use OPRA in an actual manufacturing scenario? The research gives us a couple of really good examples, right?
It does. The first one looks at autonomous health monitoring. Say you've got a patient wearing something that tracks their vitals. This agent sees a bunch of concerning readings, blood pressure way high, 180 over 110, a fever of 38.6 Celsius, heart rate's jacked up at 111 beats per minute, and their blood oxygen is low, only 92%.
Those are definitely bad signs. So what kind of question does the agent ask? Based on this, what kind of prompt?
Well, based on all that, the agent asks ChatGPT something like, okay, so this patient has these vital signs. Blood pressure is 180 over 110, temp is 38.6 Celsius, heart rate's a 111, and blood oxygen is at 92%. What could be causing this? And what should the patient do right now? Do they need to call an ambulance, like, immediately?
Okay, so what does ChatGPT say? What's the response?
ChatGPT comes back and says, whoa, this is serious. This could be a hypertensive crisis, maybe with an infection, too. Call an ambulance, like, now. Don't wait. There could be some bad complications, like a stroke or heart attack.
It's pretty direct. No messing around. So the agent gets this critical advice. What does it do? What action does it take?
Right, so in the action phase, the agent jumps into action. First thing, it sends an alert to call 911, you know, get an ambulance rolling. It probably also alerts the patient directly through the device and maybe even a caregiver if there is one. It might even give the patient some calming instructions while they wait for help. And lastly, it logs everything. The vitals, the advice from ChatGPT, so the paramedics have a full picture when they arrive.
So it's not just reacting, it's preparing for what happens next. The research also talked about this general prompt structure. What's that all about?
The general prompt is there to make sure ChatGPT gives a good initial assessment and knows to ask for more info if needed. It's basically set up to ask, what could be wrong? How urgent is it? What should we do right now? Do we need a specialist?
Mm-hmm.
And really importantly, it tells ChatGPT to keep asking questions until it have enough to give solid advice. Like in the health example, it might ask how old the patient is, any existing conditions, stuff like that.
So it's baking that back and forth into the process to make sure the advice is as accurate as possible. And the agent can make the prompts even more specific, right? Like if it knows the patient's medical history, it can get a more tailored response.
Exactly. The more details it gives, the more specific and helpful the response from ChatGPT. But, and this is important, even though it's getting advice from ChatGPT, which isn't a doctor, the research really stresses safety protocols.
Mm-hmm.
So the agent might check that advice against medical guidelines it has, or if the vitals cross a certain danger zone, it'll trigger emergency responses no matter what ChatGPT says.
Yeah, makes sense. Layers of safety, just in case. Okay, let's look at the second scenario the research gives us, agent-driven autonomous predictive maintenance. This time it's in an industrial setting, and the agent's keeping an eye on a turbine. What does it see? What's the initial situation?
Okay, so the agent's monitoring this turbine, and it picks up some weird readings. The vibration's up at 15 millimeters per second, but normal is 1 to 10. The temp is also high at 110 Celsius, while normal is 80 to 100. And the pressure's up too, 30 bar compared to a normal 5 to 28.
So the agent sends this info to ChatGPT, you know, using that general prompt we talked about. What does it hear back? What's the response?
The agent tells ChatGPT, hey, I'm checking this turbine, and these are the sensor readings. Vibration's high, temp's high, pressure's high. And then it goes through those questions in the prompt. What could be causing it? How urgent is it? What do I do? Do we need an expert? And it also says, hey, if you need more info, let me know.
And ChatGPT's response is pretty thorough, huh?
Oh, yeah. Very detailed. ChatGPT says, okay, for the high vibration, it could be a few things. Some is off balance, maybe parts are misaligned, or maybe the bearings are worn out. For the high temp, maybe it's overheating because it's working too hard or the cooling's not working right. And for the high pressure, it could be a blockage somewhere or valves messed up. Then it says, this is pretty urgent. Shut down the turbine, like now, but do it in a controlled way. Then check all the important parts. You might need to call in some experts, vibration guys, mechanical guys, thermal guys, pressure guys. And finally, it says, can you tell me a little more about the turbine? When was it last serviced? Any records? How much load is it under? What's the environment like? When were the sensors last calibrated?
That's a lot of information. And the agent actually has some of that extra info, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It tells ChatGPT, okay, the turbine was serviced just 2 months ago. Nobody's reported any weird sounds or smells, but it has been working a bit harder than usual this past week, a bit more load.
So ChatGPT gets this new info. How does it change its diagnosis?
ChatGPT says, okay, well, the recent service makes big problems less likely, but it's not impossible. That extra load the turbine's been under, that could be causing the high vibration and temp. Mm-hmm. It still says to shut it down just in case, but it focuses more on that increased load as a potential culprit.
That really shows how valuable that back and forth is. And then the agent actually asks about reducing the load, right?
Yeah, it does. It's like, okay, about this load thing, should I reduce it right away or do I wait for the maintenance team? And ChatGPT says, reduce the load like now. Don't wait. It's risky to keep running it like this. If the vibration goes above 20 millimeters per second or the temp hits 120 Celsius, shut it down immediately, automatically.
So the agent's final decision is based on this whole conversation. What does it do in the end?
Based on ChatGPT's advice, the agent dials down the turbine's workload right away. It also sets up a maintenance check, ASAP. And of course, it keeps a close eye on all the sensor readings with those new automatic shutdown thresholds in place just to be safe.
This really shows how this dialogue, this back and forth, lets the agent really understand the problem and act in a smart way. It might not even need to shut down completely, but it's still being safe and staying ahead of any problems.
Now, we've been talking about how the agent talks to ChatGPT in plain language, but agents often use more formal language, right? Like when they talk to each other or to other systems. So how does that work with OPRA?
That's where translators come in, yeah.
Exactly. Agents usually use structured languages like ACL or agent communication language or SparkQL or GRQL, which is for querying knowledge graphs.
Yeah.
They use these especially when talking to other agents or accessing structured data. ChatGPT, though, it's all about natural language. So you need translators in OPR to bridge the gap and make sure everything can talk to each other.
What are the main types of translators the research talks about?
Two main types. First, there's the one that goes between ACL and natural language. This lets the agent turn its internal request into regular questions ChatGPT can get. Then it translates ChatGPT's answers back into instructions the agent can act on. Like, say an agent needs to know the temperature. It sends an ACL message to another system to ask. That message is translated into a normal question for ChatGPT. What's the temperature? ChatGPT answers, it's 25 Celsius. That answer gets translated back into an ACL message for the agent.
And the second translator deals with SparkQL and RDF.
All right. The second one handles SparkQL, which is a way to query knowledge graphs and natural language. This lets the agent ask questions about structured knowledge stored in RDF, which stands for Resource Description Framework. ChatGPT understands the question, gives an answer, and that answer gets translated back into RDF so the agent can update its own knowledge. Say the agent wants to know when a robot arm needs maintenance. It sends a SparkQL query to a knowledge graph. That query is translated into, hey, when's the next service for the robot arm on line 3? ChatGPT says November 15th, 2025. That gets translated back into RDF for the agent.
So these translators are like the interpreters, making sure everything can communicate. What kind of tools are people using to make these translators?
They use all sorts of cool stuff from the world of natural language processing and semantics. Like, there's SPACI and NLTK, which are good for breaking down text and figuring out what's important. There's the Transformers library from Hugging Face, which is great for understanding intent and language. RDF Libs for working with RDF data and SparkQL. And even platforms like Dialogflow, which you often use with the OpenAI API, for understanding and generating natural language. It's a mix of classic NLP and the latest stuff in large language models that makes it all work.
Okay, we get OPR now. But the research also compares it to other ways of designing agents, you know, traditional architectures. Let's start with reactive agents. How's OPR different?
Reactive agents are pretty basic. They basically have a set of rules. If you see this, do that. They're really fast, but they can adapt to new situations. OPRA, because it can ask for outside help, can handle uncertainty and adapt to new things much better. Unlike reactive agents, which just react, OPRA actually thinks about things by asking questions and using the information it gets.
Okay, what about deliberative agents, like the ones that use the belief, desire, intention, or BDI model?
BDI agents are more about internal thinking and planning. They have beliefs about the world, goals they want to achieve, and plans to get there. OPR agents also have an internal model, but they improve their thinking by asking for external knowledge. So when things change fast, they're more responsive and adaptable. And BDI agents can use a lot of computing power because they're thinking so hard internally, while OPR offloads some of that thinking to those external systems.
And the research mentioned BDI prompting. How's that different from OPRA?
BDI prompting is interesting. It also uses large language models. But the idea is to put the BDI model inside the LLM so it can plan better and explain its choices based on its beliefs and desires. OPR, though, is more about this constant cycle of observing, asking, getting answers, and acting. It's better for getting feedback from the outside and working with other agents. It's perfect for situations where you need to work together and adapt based on what's happening around you.
And what about hybrid architectures? You know, the ones that combine reactive and deliberative parts.
Hybrids try to combine the speed of reactive agents with the smarts of deliberative agents. They usually have separate parts for each. OPRA, in a way, is kind of hybrid too, but it does it by having this external feedback loop. That's like its thinking part. So it doesn't have to be thinking all the time. It just thinks hard when it needs to. This is really good when you need to adapt quickly based on information from outside.
Okay, let's talk about goal-oriented architectures, including the ones that use utility functions.
Goal-oriented agents, they're all about achieving specific goals. Utility-based agents try to make choices that give them the most reward. OPR is different. It doesn't have long-term goals or try to maximize rewards. It focuses on getting good advice for the situation it's in right now, especially when it doesn't know enough itself. It's more about navigating the present than following a long-term plan. So it's great when things are uncertain and changing fast, where planning ahead is hard.
How does it compare to learning agents? You know, the ones that use things like reinforcement learning to learn from experience.
Learning agents get better over time by learning from their interactions. They change what they do based on the feedback they get. OPRA doesn't learn from the past in the same way. It asks for advice based on what's happening right now. So it adjusts immediately by asking an LLM. Learning agents need time and data to adapt. OPRA can use the LLM's huge knowledge to deal with situations it's never seen before.
And lastly, how does OPRA compare to those classic knowledge-based agents, the ones with that fixed internal knowledge base?
Knowledge-based agents work off a set of rules and facts that someone programmed into them. OPRA, it asks those external systems like LLMs, which means it always has access to the latest info. That's great for fields that change fast, where keeping that knowledge up to date is a pain. Traditional knowledge-based systems can get outdated pretty quickly.
Okay, so to sum up what's unique about OPRA, it's this ability to ask questions externally, get clarification, and adapt instantly to new situations. It doesn't just follow rules, think on its own, or learn from the past. It asks for help when it needs it.
Exactly. It's combining what the agent knows with on-demand expert advice. It's a whole new way to design intelligent systems, especially when things are complex, and the old ways of doing things just don't cut it.
No, OPRA is for one agent working on its own, but the research also talks about COPRA, which is collaborative OPRA for systems with multiple agents. How does that work?
COPRA takes OPRA and applies it to teams of agents working together. It lets them cooperate, coordinate, and solve problems better. It's all about teamwork.
What does that cooperation look like in practice, like in each step of the OPRA cycle? Observation, prompt, response, and action.
Sure. So in collaborative observation, the agents share what they see, their sensor data, and any other info they have. This gives them a more complete view, like a shared understanding of what's going on. No more blind spots. Then, in collaborative prompt generation, they work together to figure out what to ask the external system. More brains, better questions. In collaborative response interpretation, after they get the answer, they check it against what they already know and what the other agents are saying. Make sure the information is good and reliable. And finally, in collaborative action, they coordinate what they do based on what they all now understand. This makes sure everyone's working together efficiently and effectively.
It's like going from individual intelligence to group intelligence. What are some of the big ideas that OPRA and COPRA bring to how we think about these autonomous systems?
Well, one big shift is that we're relying more on external knowledge that's constantly updating instead of those fixed internal rules. Another is that these agents are actively seeking out clarification when they're unsure. They're also using this back and forth, like humans do, to ask questions and refine their understanding. And with COPRA, you have distributed intelligence, where all the agents are sharing knowledge and making decisions together. It's a much more open and dynamic way of thinking about these systems.
Can you give us like a quick example of how COPRA would work in a real factory, maybe using Industry 4.0 technology?
Imagine a bunch of smart factories, all connected, each with its own agents monitoring the production line. With COPRA, they share data in real time. So say one agent sees something weird with a machine. It shares that info and the question it's thinking of asking with agents at other factories that have the same machine. Then they all work together to refine the question, get the best possible answer, and compare notes. This gives them a much clearer picture, and they can coordinate their maintenance efforts, saving time and money across the entire network.
That's pretty cool. Okay, as we wrap up this deep dive, where do you see OPRA and COPRA being most useful? What kind of situations are they really good for?
The research says they're especially valuable in situations where the rules aren't clear or complete, or for those complex diagnostic tasks where the data can mean different things. They're great for surprises, when something happens that the agent wasn't programmed to handle, and when there are a lot of different factors to consider, you know, when you have to balance competing priorities. Also, when the data is unclear or ambiguous, and in high-stakes situations where a wrong decision could be really bad. And finally, in those fields that are changing super fast, where staying up to date is crucial.
So it's for when you can't just rely on what the agent already knows or on pre-programmed rules, you need that external expert advice, and you need it right away. Now, the research also mentions these future extensions, OPRA Plus and COPRA Plus Gitburn. What are those about?
OPRA Plus and COPRA Plus are all about transparency. They add an explanation step to the cycle. So with OPRA Plus, after the agent gets an answer but before it acts, it has to explain why it's doing what it's doing. This helps build trust, especially when humans are relying on these systems. COPRA Plus brings this explanation into the team setting. So the agents not only coordinate what they do, but also share the reasoning behind their choices. This should make things run even smoother. And the cool thing is, they'll still use those external knowledge sources like LLMs to come up with those explanations.
So it's not just about being smart, it's about being understandable. That's huge for getting people to trust and accept these systems, right?
Absolutely. As this tech becomes more common in our lives, we need to know why these systems are making the choices they make. Transparency is key.
All right, so for our listeners, the big takeaway here is that OPRA and COPRA are something really new. They're a potential game changer for making autonomous systems smarter, more adaptable, and better at working together, especially in manufacturing. And they do it by tapping into all that external knowledge in a really smart way.
Yeah, and for you, our listener, who wants to understand these complex things quickly, OPRA is like giving those agents a direct line to an expert, any expert, whenever they need one. It's like instant access to the best advice.
It's mind-blowing to think about how this ability for machines to ask questions and constantly learn could change things, not just in manufacturing, but in all sorts of industries where automation and good decision-making are important.
And it makes you wonder, with all this expert knowledge at our fingertips now, how are we going to learn and solve problems differently? How can we use these amazing tools better in our work and our lives? It's a big change in how we think about knowledge, and it's something we should all be thinking about.